Beloved Creator, we come to this moment in gratitude for the abundance we have all around us. We continue to ask for your guidance. Keep us true to our course. If we stray from that which is most effective, correct. If we feel dissent among ourselves, the people, guide us to harmony. Where we have questions, clarify our quandaries. In all that we do, keep us present, respectful, and in love. Let it be so, and so it is.
My name is Ron Vrooman. I'm the old white man talking head for the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly. I have this much to say. You folks out there may recognize this thought. The last lawful act of our law system was when South Carolina withdrew, seceded from the Union. Now, if you look up secede in Black's Law 6th edition, they give you the definition and then they give you the propaganda for the bar. Very interesting. Which is identified at that time on the Confederation and Perpetual Unions, apostrophe S, articles. We are styled the United States of America. That is it. Anything else is not our lawful name. The Congress assembled from that group creates law for the United States and nothing else. The United States is Washington, District of Columbia, forts, ports, and needful buildings. That's pretty close. That group, when it assembles, the constitutionally correct Congress also meets. So if you put all the right people in the right spot, you have the Confederation and Perpetual Union, which is the creator of the United States, which is governed by a Congress, and it's for 10 miles square, Washington, District of Columbia, half of which Virginia took back. But in any case, that piece of dirt left, Forts Ports, that's the United States. Okay. As does, so we've got several groups meeting when these groups assemble. Also meeting is the current de facto, illegal, bankrupt, illegitimate iteration of whatever fraudulent number and lipstick they put on the Fed notes. Every color of law action since March 1861 is a nullity. Now you have to think like Jefferson. That's a tough job. So now thinking like Jefferson, a sovereign, first person singular of people. Lost my place. Not the fictional, all cap, corporate, commercial, admiralty, equity person. A man or woman on the land and soil with their children nullifies the ravings of Congress that only rules Washington, District of Columbia with mindset. They are nothing to us. Mindset. If you cannot hold your mud, you do not want to go here. Tell them at least three times no. If they do not comply, demand a supervisor. I do not answer questions. Am I free to go? Am I under arrest? I digress. First, we punched them very hard with a First Amendment petition for redress. They failed. Then we formed an Oregon statewide jural assembly, a jury pool, and we informed the U.S. Department of Justice, 36 sheriffs, and we called out each and every one of them with three good and constitutionally lawful failures that they needed to correct. And they have not self-corrected yet. That was 4 years ago. Then we formed our civilian court of record. We formed a grand jury, petite and trial juries, an Article 3, one Supreme Court claiming original jurisdiction, an Amendment 7 court whose jury verdict has no appeal in law. And we did this lawfully and legally and constitutionally correct in 2022. We removed the de facto State of Oregon, aka all caps State of Oregon. The de jure provisional government is in place. The U.S. Department of Justice, FBI, U.S. Marshal Service, U.S. Marine Corps have acquiesced several times over. And now the feds are undergoing quiet title foreclosure and eviction, starting with 1000 Southwest 3rd Avenue, downtown Portland, the Mark O. Hatfield Building. The rest of the federal buildings will come soon. Oregon's de facto Attorney General, Secretary of State, Governor, two United States Senators, one United States House of Representatives, 89 state legislators, Article 7 amended and original, aware judiciary, the Executive Department, commissions, boards, councils, agencies, et al., are guilty of due process violations. Specifically, that's coded 18 U.S.C. 3571. And they're convicted with a proper verdict and bona fides. Our verdicts and bona fides are always found at www.orsja.org. And it's all there. All sheriffs and LEOs, law enforcement officers, and bar people, that's British Accreditation Registry, Oregon Bar Association, the judiciary, judges, those people, persons, need a proper oath to a proper constitution. And we know what that is. We are no longer deceived. That's the crux of the situation. We know where the de facto started. We are the de jure. We are taking out the de facto. Once the fraud is uncovered, it's no longer a valid point to operate from. They have no honor. So the crux of the situation, a proper oath, and we know what a proper oath is. They don't have one. They haven't had a proper oath for 112 years. Status, standing, and venue. And otherwise, they have to be lawfully correct and function and operate that way for the peace, benefit, and happiness of you and me. That's why they're there. And if they don't, they'll be removed from office. And I yield. My name's Ron Vroman. I'm in a conversation with Richard Koenig and William Appel. Would you guys join in?
Hi, Richard.
Yep, William's here.
I thought it might be a good idea, and as we needed to fill out anyhow, this would be a good time and an opportunity to discuss what was previously recorded, and I have right here as a script. Do you think there's any confusion about the status and standing of Oregon as juxtaposed to South Carolina withdrawal and Kansas? And do all of those dates and times and places actually make a difference of changing from what's real and lawful and just and de jure to what's a benevolent form of martial law that can turn malevolent at any time? Do you think that kind of information is worth discussing?
I want to know, when you talk, when anyone talks with any so-called government official, or let's see, political officer, how about a political officer, from any jurisdiction, any former, any formerly existing
authority figures.
Okay, whenever someone's talking to them, how can we expect their mind, their brain that's been washed for so many years, and, you know, sometimes decades, how can we expect them to comprehend that they are not what they think they are? They're not what they expect us to believe they are. How can we do that?
I think we're in the process of doing it now. The process of changing back from de facto to de jure is crystal clear.
Well, okay. There's a separation here of the stuff, though, right? Because me, you know, the average people out there are not going to talk to the heads of this scenario at all. We're going to come in contact with representatives of, like, the sheriff's deputy or a secretary, receptionist, something, that kind of stuff. So they're just going to take orders from above. They're not going to really listen to us. And we've seen that several times in scenarios where a person, one of the people, are pulled over by an officer and they're told the what, fors, and whys of our status and how they have no authority. And if one of the people inside the car are persistent, that a representative finally goes and talks to the sheriff or something, and then it looks like to me that they're told, the deputy is told to just give them their content back or whatever and send them on their way.
Yes.
You know, usually it takes, you know, 15 to 30 minutes or something for that to happen, maybe longer in some cases. But the upper powers, we're not going to be able to get to them. I think in some of them are just absent without leave, personally. I rest.
I agree
with
many of them are using the COVID-19 thing as their pretext for not being there. That's
true.
But yep. And that has introduced us to this, and it's happening at the same time as the statewide Jural Assembly came into being and started reshaping reality. Isn't that an interesting dichotomy, the COVID-19 and the statewide Jural Assembly? Isn't that interesting that they both started about the same time? Within a year, right?
We started June, officially June 2018. And COVID started officially December 2019. That's why it's COVID-19. Okay. So that flatten the curve for 15 days has grown to 2 years and how many months?
Okay. I want to share this about what happened last night and today further.
Are you changing the subject?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to still find out how these people are going to be expected to deal with this. You know, how can we deal with them if they cannot be expected to deal with us? But I had my computer in front of me and I read the three classes of commercial driver license out of the vehicle code to this sheriff's deputy. I doubt that she had ever read it before. You know,
of course not. Yeah.
And I said, okay, so now which one of those commercial driver licenses do I need to have in order to use a solely for personal use vehicle on the highway? And she said, you need a regular Class C. And I said, okay, the regular commercial driver license, Class C driver license. Now, I'm not making any money in a solely for personal use vehicle. I'm not, you know, asking anybody to reimburse me for my time behind the wheel. So how does that work? And she couldn't, and you know what she did? She referred me to mental health. She said, you need to call the mental health crisis line and they can advocate for you.
Because they're attorneys or something, right? They know the law or something, right?
She was a sheriff, but she virtually admitted that she had never read it. I mean, she didn't use those words, but you could tell that she had not read it. You know, she was not familiar with the three classes of commercial driver license.
You were one of those crazy people.
Okay. Yeah, I'm crazy because I read statutes. Yeah, it's kind of a hobby of mine. But it's under ORS 807.031. Those are the only section that talks about classes of driver license. That's it. Well, there is another place. I mean, there is, let me give you this. I mean, I should have told her this, but I didn't. I didn't have a chance because she was, and this is another thing. When you're trying to talk to these people, they frequently start moving their lips and uttering syllables so rapidly that it's difficult to stop them and get a word in edgewise, right? I should have said something about a driver license means permission required by law. No. Driver license is a term which may be used interchangeably with license. And license, according to the attorney who used to be part of the Minor Court Rules Committee, an agency of the Supreme Court of Oregon, he said, driver license is a term which may be used interchangeably with license. Okay. And then what is license? So he went to the Administrative Procedures Act at 183.310 subsection 5, and it says permission required by law to pursue any commercial activity, trade, occupation, or profession. But I didn't get that in because of her rapidly, you know, this, her words were just spilling all over the phone, flooding my ears. And I couldn't talk. I couldn't compete with her.
I'd like to make a point on that, Richard.
Okay, tell me about it.
Charlie spearheaded this, and we had a grand jury hearing on it, and we had a trial jury hearing on it, and that all agencies, commissions, and groups such as that that put themselves between the people and contracting, such as a plumber has to have a license before he can contract electrician, taxi driver, etc., etc., etc. Well, there is no lawful agency that you can place between you and anybody else you want to contract with or not contract with. So,
yeah, no law shall be passed impairing the obligation of contracts.
Yes.
Therefore, no permission needed, right?
There is no permission needed to drive my car or to give counsel to somebody on medical or legal matters. It's counsel.
I think these licenses could be still used, right? Because if I'm one of the people out here and I want to have work done to my house or my car or something, I can choose between a licensed or an unlicensed person, right?
Yep.
People, I guess. So that could still be in play, but actually not required, but is a choice, right?
Exactly. And the choice is the difference between trade and commerce. And you and I can be in trade. Now, you and I are not capable to build a 7-story mid-rise building downtown Portland to code, commercial code. We're just not capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. That's commerce. That's something where Peter J. Kiewit and Sons do contracts like that. And you're exactly right.
And not only that, what corporation or company or rich man or whatever would ever hire us to do such a task? That would make no freaking sense. Unless they could prove without a doubt that we've already had a history of making 17-story buildings. Right? Because they're going to be trying to find the most experienced person to do the job, right?
And one that's bondable.
There you go.
You know, you want to do this? Oh, are you really good at it? Yeah. Can you get a bond? Can you convince a bonding agency, a company that makes their living doing that, to bond you? Boy, if you can, you know, your stock went up a long ways.
Yeah, they'll hire you.
Yes. Each one of these major corporations that do major construction, bridges, highways, big buildings and everything, each one of them has what is called a responsible management employee. And that responsible management employee has to go down and take the test so that the state is positive that there is somebody on that make-believe incorporated staff that is a man or woman and has actually passed the test. I find that interesting also.
Okay. I think that's a little bit beyond where you started out. But I still think that my question is, how do we begin to talk to these people who can't hear us because they've been, and it's, I'm sorry about my terminology, brainwashed, but I don't know a better word, more suitable word to use at the moment. But people are just, even sheriff's deputies, you know, and municipal cops, even legislators, you know. And here's one example of that. I listened to the audio tapes of the optional titling rule, you know, presentation when Exhibit B in support of Senate Bill 124 was read into the record. And the first question was, how many vehicles are involved in this illegal titling scheme? He was so brainwashed that he had no comprehension of the Act of Congress, February 14, 1859, that says the common highways of Oregon shall be forever free. That was not in his, you know,
lexicon.
It wasn't available to him.
Yeah.
It was gone. It never had been there. It wasn't
just
gone.
Like
it never had been.
Our peace, safety, and happiness is the only reason they exist.
Yeah, we instituted government for those exact three precise little reasons. Yeah,
yep.
Our peace, safety, and happiness. And they don't seem to know that either.
Yes, that has to be. You know, well, they've had 112 years of being inculcated with improper information.
On Oregon.
Yeah, on Oregon.
Yep. Yeah, and they've corporatized. Okay. They have a corporate mentality now, right?
Completely.
They have a which mentality?
Corporate.
William?
Yeah, they have a corporate mentality now. And so this is our biggest obstacle. This talking, getting these subhumans, they cannot be fully human.
Oh, Richard, God, you are such a piece of work.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. But I don't want to call them people, and I don't even want to call them individuals, because I have to think of the group from which they're drawn, you know. But subhumans is okay. But we have to think.
No, it's not. Not okay.
You tell me who they are, and I'll use whatever you say.
Uneducated men and women with their children. That's
okay.
Who they are.
Uneducated men and women with their children. How do we, and see, they have to come back into our society. They are a big part of it. You know,
yes.
And we have to incorporate them. We have to.
No, we don't.
Welcome them.
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, I don't think it would be nice to isolate them.
We're not.
Okay. What are the alternatives then?
Leave them alone. When they wake up and decide that they don't want to eat at McDonald's anymore, and they don't want to participate in the, yes, sir, boss, here's my driver's license, here's my registration to my car, and here is my insurance, and I'm sorry I was speeding. And yes, I'll sign that and appear in court immediately.
Thanks for the ticket. Have a good day.
Yes. those persons were not going to get them into our general assembly. That doesn't make them subhuman.
Um, Well, I believe that people should be self-determined. And if they're not self-determined, if they are corporate, you know, if they're part of the corporate mentality, that means they're into taking instructions from a higher up, you know.
Of course.
And that's not human. That's why I use the term subhuman. Is there a better word?
Okay, yeah, men and women, much, much better word.
Men and women with their children.
When you joined, you never joined the military, so you don't know. But when you join the military, you willingly agree to accept orders from those above you and to give orders to those below you and to carry out those orders to the best of your ability. That's what you sign up for. Now, there are thousands and thousands of people that love it. I mean, they just absolutely love it. They know that every morning they do this. They have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, yeah. Nice place to live. They have swimming pools and movie theaters and everything that they could possibly want. And it's absolutely fabulous. If you don't fuck up, you can do 20 or 30 years there and get a really nice retirement and live wonderfully well if there's no war.
Yeah. Okay. And see, you can live wonderfully well, but that's still not the same as being self-determined. If you are signed
they're
up
not.
To take orders above and give orders below and to carry out orders given to you, that's the opposite of self-determined.
Yes, that's exactly right, Richard. And that's what a huge, huge amount of the people are. That's where they want to be. He said the industrial military complex. Industrial is corporate. That's corporate. Military. The military tells
us. In my recollection of what Eisenhower said, he said the military industrial complex.
Yep, that's what he said.
Okay. Not the military.
Do you think it's anybody in that industrial military complex is a civilian? I think they're all completely. Every colonel that retires from the military will get a cushy job in industry. Every single one of them. Every light colonel that retires from the military, or if they're a full commander in the Navy, they'll get the same treatment. It's a revolving door. They're part of the clique. That's how it works. They do 20 in the military, and then they do another 20 or 30 in commerce or industry. It's yes, sir, from their whole fucking life, and they love it.
Okay. Well, how do we distinguish those that love it from those of us who are struggling to be creative and self-determined every day? How do we, walking down the street, how do we tell the difference between those two classes?
You can.
I mean, I would think it would be a good thing to be able to do. Wouldn't it be a good thing to be able to do?
Yep. Hitler had a way, right?
Yeah.
He used different symbols on their uniforms, right? In prison to tell what class they were, whether they were Jews or witnesses or whatever it was, you know? So we don't want to go there, right?
Yep.
I don't know. Like,
Excuse me, those were subhumans to the Germans.
Yep, exactly. So I'm not sure how we could do it out here. I know that the corporate slaves out there just obediently put the license plate on their car. And the other people, the people that have woken up to this or had their bubble pop, they're not putting license plates on their car. That's a determination right there. But just walking around, I don't know, I guess we all look the same.
A mask is a pretty good indication.
It was, right?
It still is. There's a large proportion of the people walking around with masks on. Still.
And I've noticed that.
Okay.
Although it's kind of a regional thing too. If I go down the road, you know, a certain number of miles, then I'm going to run into masks. Or if
more
I'm
of them.
Over
yeah.
there and I, you know, so that it's mileage. It's a spot.
If you walk through the front door of a hospital, you just arrived.
Yeah. Dentist office. Yeah. All that.
Yep. Chiropractors, optometrists.
Retirement homes.
You will wear a mask.
You know, I got my eyes fixed this year. And one of the things that I did while I was in the process of that, I said, can you help me understand what an executive order is? What is the, and I wrote it down. I made a public record law request. It's like, what is the function of an executive order regarding COVID-19? And that was in July. And I still haven't heard anything.
Of course not.
And it's
executive order sounds like the executive are ordered to do something, and I'm not one of them.
Or the executive did issue the order to her subordinates.
Yes, and we're not that either. But you asked a question. You asked a question, and here is an answer.
Well, but. You know,
a
I
proper
have
oath, status, standing, and venue, or they will be removed from office.
There.
Right.
That's it. There's the crux of it.
I second that.
We will not permit it anymore, Richard. Okay.
No, I can turn some of them.
Let's say four or five of us appear when every sheriff is taking his oath, or we appear and demand to see his oath and to see it in writing, and if it doesn't meet our requirements and he doesn't take a new oath, then we remove him from office. What about that one? I think that works.
I think we can do that anytime. We could do that tomorrow.
Yes.
Anytime we want to inspect, that's part of what all power is inherent in the people is about.
Yep.
And it says at all times we have a right to alter, reform, or abolish government in such manner as we may think proper. Such manner.
And this is the manner we think is proper. So I think we're in total agreement. Oh, I spoke to Milt Mitchek today.
Oh, how's Milt?
He's still out in Eastern Oregon. Maybe he'll be joining us, I hope.
And what did you talk about?
Oh, general assembly and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was wrapped around this stuff you just read, right, Ron?
Yeah, this what we're talking about right now, I sent that out last night or night before to 174 people that I dredged up by name. People that I wanted to have it. Anna von Ritz was one of them, and Milt Mitchek was another one, and both of them responded properly, politely,
okay,
nicely. Neither one of them said I was a crazy old man.
Well, you're becoming quite the celebrity.
You're absolutely batshit crazy, Richard. There's no celebrity here. I can barely get through the day.
No, that's not what celebrities have a choice of doing or not doing. A celebrity okay. is someone who is known for his intentions, known for his goodwill, known for his.
Have you seen the amount? Have you seen the numbers of people that actually look at what we broadcast and put out? They're just
I've looked on some of your more recent. What?
They're just appallingly low.
Yes, but they're rising. The most recent ones I recall looking at. I won't say the numbers, but. They're more than twice as many as I saw a year ago. Have you noticed that? Have you been watching the numbers climb?
To some degree, yeah, but I haven't noticed that. But what I have noticed is that Charlie and Cynthia get a much better response than I do.
Hmm. Yep. And you mean, is that a different website?
No, just from people in general, from those that they come in contact with that are people in the Patriot movement to just plain ordinary people walking down the street. Both of them do much better than I do with those social people skills.
Yeah, well, we're still talking about those people that have been brainwashed, right? So they are of the mindset that the only thing they're going to consume has a little icing on top of it, right? And, you know, us old men, you know, tend to just like bluntly put it out there, right? So we're talking to a class of people and they're talking to a different class. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Well, I don't think they're talking to the ones that I was calling subhuman. I think they're talking to people that appreciate what they're saying, who have similar inclinations, and that's what makes them watched, you know. That's what makes them responded to. That's what gives them views. But another thing, I don't think Ron, I think Ron walked around, if he spent more time meeting these kinds of people, he would get more. He would have more views as well. If he was out there, you know, striking up the conversation with people on the street, like Charlie does.
Yeah.
And
that's probably not going to happen. Wait a minute. Wait, here we go. In New Seasons, Richard, in Beaverton.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In the area where we used to meet years ago, we still meet there once in a while. Up in the window they have five flags, I believe. One is the rainbow flag, one is the United States National Ensign, one is the Oregon flag, one is Black Lives Matter, And the other one is another far left flag. And that is just revolting to me. But must be 2-3 weeks ago, I did everything possible that is available online or by telephone to register that complaint with the management of New Seasons, and it did not get anywhere. Nobody called back. Nobody cares what we think about their left-wing political stance. They don't care.
And maybe they don't even care about the media.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. And he's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car. And he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. This is what you want, just shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air. And I thought, I swear to God. He was just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead. And then after he was down on the ground, shot him 3 more times.